On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I'll go over Carolina's game against Georgia over the weekend, go over what I like, what I didn't like, review and recap the six pack of picks, and then also look ahead to any potential news and updates for this upcoming week. All right, here we go. Okay, welcome to episode 4 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I'm your host, Tim Cox, where we will keep every episode Carolina true from 1801 to 2001. And all right, Gamecock fans, how are we feeling? Have we all worked through our, what's it, the 7 stages of grief after the loss this past weekend? I know I had to force myself through them. I think the last one is acceptance, and I had to accept what happened Saturday to be able to record today, and it just sucks anytime you have a loss. And I mean, look, we all had hope, and I truly believe that you got to have faith in your team, right? That's why we're all fans, right? That's why I'm doing this. I'm taking up this podcast project, and sometimes I might be a little overly optimistic, but I mean, why would I be anything else, right? I mean, it makes it more exciting. It makes it worth getting out of bed, worth being locked in all day and the build up to the game. And it just stinks when you lose. But look, I'm not here, especially doing this podcast, I'm not here to kiss Georgia or any other school's rings. I'm not here to bow down to their history. So every week, no matter who we play, that's what you're going to get from me. I'm going to believe and I'm going to look at what we can do to make it happen and have that win go our way. But with that said, you know, it just sucks to have reality slap you in the face. Before I jump into specifics on each side of the ball, I did want to cover a couple of themes that I did take away. And for those of you who this may be your first game breakdown you're listening to, what I'm going to do is go over some overall themes, and then I break down each side of the ball, what I like, what I didn't like. I don't go too into the nitty-gritty of it, just more eye test. But with that being said, I mean, look, Carolina, you got to give credit where credit is due. UGA certainly looked like they lived up to their billing of the number 2 team in the country. I mean, that entire defensive front, geez Louise, it's just disgusting. Jordan Davis, number 99, I was shocked when I learned he played in the middle. After everything that I heard about him, and I'd seen him run so fast on the field, when I saw him get down at basically the nose tackle position, I was like, oh my goodness. And they were able to bully us all night, and any short passes we got off, it just felt like we were swallowed up right away. So credit to them. I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised if they go all the way through Atlanta and onto the playoff. And offensively, I mean, Georgia showed they really just do have so many damn ways where they can beat you. Zamir White, he had a nice touchdown run there, and they had another guy who was just tearing it up in the running back room, and then they had wide receivers who'll just spread you out, and they were just burning us, and it opened things up for them all night. But moving away from Georgia, the couple of main themes I took away from our team was, first off, great teams covered the spread. Good job, Cox. I don't normally mix business with pleasure, like I've said, but I do know a couple people that took Carolina with the points, and so congrats, you cashed in. And it's kind of cool. I mean, anytime you're an underdog, a big underdog like that, if you can beat the Vegas expectations, I feel like that does show a little something, right? Vegas gets it right so much of the time. So if you're able to beat their expectations and be a little better than they thought you were, I think that's a decent takeaway. But that comes back to my main point, and something that I really wanted to harp on was this team competed for all 4 quarters. We came out of the gate pretty good. We hung with Georgia for the first half, and that first quarter especially, only down 14-6. But this team battled on both sides of the ball, making plays late, even when it was clear that the upset just wasn't going to happen. But they fought and they battled, and I am proud of that. And I'm going to speak more on this, but hey, round of applause for Justin Stepp. I know his hire was really celebrated by the fans, and I just feel like maybe of late we forgot about him just because they got coordinators and other issues. But my goodness, Josh Van has solidified himself as the number one wide receiver, and I feel like Justin Stepp is a big part of that. I mean, that dude was just straight up balling. He was going against the best UGA had to offer. I mean, he even scored the first offensive touchdown against UGA this whole year, right? I mean, that's just incredible. But then on the flip side of things, Carolina, we just had way, way too many penalties. Like, my goodness. It was just like a parade of yellow out there at some points, and just on both sides of the ball, too. I mean, some came after big plays on the offense, and it was really the first time that I felt we saw Beamer, like, very upset, right? He was dropping F-bombs. He was yelling to his headset. He was getting after some guys, and you just have to be better. Period. End of story. You have to clean that shit up if you want to hang with any team in the SEC, let alone the elite ones like Georgia. So a couple main themes right there, but we're going to go into a little bit more specifics here. What I liked, what I didn't like, kicking it off with the defense. And what I didn't like, I mean, like I said last week going into this game, the honeymoon is sure over, right? The honeymoon phase is over. Two very long pass touchdowns given up. And, like, the wide receivers just smoked us. Like, there wasn't anybody near some of these guys. The one that stands out was, I think it was Cam Smith. He got burned real bad. There was just no safety help over the top. Like, the guy was by him by a couple of yards, and it just was tough to see. But outside of the touchdowns, I mean, there were still a couple chunk plays given up where it looked like, you know, we were playing more in a soft zone, which, I mean, I guess that helps you keep the play in front of you to try to limit some of those big plays. But it seemed to allow Georgia to move the chains rather easily at times, especially they were able to run and throw against us. And then, I mean, I guess just kind of in general, like anytime you give up 40 points, that's just like an umbrella. Yeah, you just didn't do that great, and I'm going to put that under things I didn't like. But moving into what I did like, turnovers, baby. We're grabbing those turnovers. Mr. Interception with two picks, Jalen Foster. How about that? I mean, three games in a row with picks. That's just incredible. His second actually came down when we were down by multiple scores deep in the second half. And again, that just speaks to Carolina and that defense continuing to play hard. Clayton White, I mean, he has really rallied these guys to play hard and really be opportunistic. You know, like I just said, three games in a row with interceptions, but I think it's like five or six turnovers like in general, which is super impressive. Shows that how the scheme is working, guys are being aggressive, and they've really bought in. And I also did like to see that J.J. Nabari and Jabari Ellis, they were involved in a couple tackles for loss. J.J. had a big sack at one point. And I mean, look, that's what you want to see from your senior leaders in big games like that. You want those guys to step up and lead by example, and he did. So that's kind of it. I mean, you know, it was a rough night for the defense. Georgia had their way with us for the most part, but hey, to still play hard and to make some plays like that, I think is a big positive. But so moving on to the offense, what I didn't like. Oh, brother, for the O-line. Oh, my Lanta. Look, I understand that UGA has multiple guys on that D-line that will be playing in the NFL, but what we saw was just not acceptable nor sustainable if you're trying to win in the SEC. And in particular, the pass protection, it was just flat out bad. I'm sorry. I mean, whether it was Luke or Zeb for that drive or two, it just felt like Georgia could just rush four and the pocket was just collapsing. I mean, wasn't there the one play, I believe it was Luke was in at this point, where the pocket collapsed and Luke threw it, and he had no time and he threw it off of the lineman's back. He was just that close to him. It was just, you know, it's just head scratching because, like, this is a veteran group. And to the best of my knowledge, Greg Atkins is a pretty good offensive line coach who has had some really good lines in the past. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what's not clicking. Like, maybe it's time to rotate some different guys in, but, like, this needs to get fixed, like, stat, like, right now. I don't think anyone wants to keep talking about the O-line, but, like, if you can fix that, then everything else can kind of get better around it. But aside from that, I thought there were a couple questionable decisions. I mean, the sequence that led up to the safety was just kind of bizarre. I don't know why you're having them drop back or really pushing it. I mean, that was right at the end of the half. That might be some inexperience showing on the coaching staff. You know, maybe some growing pains with what they're trying to do in those situations, maybe trying to force something that just wasn't there. And, you know, there were some questionable play calls. It felt like we didn't really get the short pass game going. Not scoring a touchdown after that first interception where that we had good field position, I mean, that was brutal. Like, if you score there, it's a different ballgame going into the half. I mean, Georgia might be on their heels a little bit, but you just weren't able to capitalize, and that's what you have to be able to do. And a couple of times it felt like we were maybe a little stubborn with trying runs to the same side. It just wasn't working, but that kind of ties back to the O-line, where it feels like if that can improve, everything else around the offense might build off of that. So who knows? But on to what I liked about the offense. Luke. I mean, I was so excited to see him get out there. And I mean, he sure looked healthy to me. I mean, there were a couple of big hits that I got nervous for. He sprang right back up. I mean, he jumped up. And that guy loves playing football. That guy is a freaking gamer. But again, like, kind of a head scratcher. Like, he was clearly healthy. Like, why was he not starting? I just don't get it. I mean, some people are saying, well, maybe the coaching staff was really trying to save him for the Kentucky game, right? Maybe they knew we didn't have much of a chance against Georgia. And I don't think anybody in big-time football is going to subscribe to that type of mentality. Maybe it was, hey, we're going to stick with Zeb. And then, like, literally the situation did call for it, like, where he got hurt. But maybe if we got down big, then he would have came in. I just don't know. But did want to take a few minutes here to talk about Luke, do a little spin-off. Because it's a big deal. We finally get to see our QB1. And the eye test for me, I mean, I think he did a good job. He threw the deep ball much better than I thought he was going to. I mean, there were a couple times where we saw his mobility too. He saved a sack and made it a no gain, right? Maybe got a yard or two. And overall, I mean, there's going to be people who are going to be impatient. There's going to be people who are going to be critical early of this kid. But we got to remember, I mean, this kid is young and he's pretty raw. I mean, he played in a couple of games last year. I think, you know, he started, what, the last two for us and got in at the end of the Missouri game, so 2.5. But he still has a lot of growing to do. But the fact that he is young and we are in a great position because now your leader and your quarterback can be solidified for the next couple of years. And as you do that, it should allow for everyone to gel together and grow together. And now that is how you build momentum and string wins together. Not plug-and-play guys who have a year left here and there. But in fact, I actually remember when Luke committed. I mean, everyone was just stoked about this kid, right? Mr. Football from South Carolina, can run, can pass. People were saying, oh, maybe he's a little Shaw-esque. I mean, that's just unreal standards, but he has a very similar skill set. And it just means we have to wait and see with this kid, right? Let's be patient with him. There's going to be some growing pains, but we all have to get excited for that because you saw some of those plays and the guys he was throwing to made some insane plays. I want to give a couple shout outs here. I spoke on it earlier, but Josh Van, I mean, he is locked in, padlock it. As wide receiver one, he straight up mossed some dudes on a couple plays. And you even saw Beamer hyping him up, saying, nobody can stop you. I think there was a penalty that took away a big play. But it's just great to see them connecting on these long touchdowns. And again, for the first score against Georgia this season, and just say it with me, do I even have to say it at this point? Get in the van, because this kid is going places. It's just so electric. But also, how can we not talk about Jalen Odell Beckham Jr. Brooks? Easily top five, if not top one, catch of the year. That was just insane. And again, I love the aggressiveness late in the game, pushing the ball downfield, and he's making the play to make it happen. But overall for the game, look, we knew there was a talent gap from the top teams in the league and where South Carolina is. And I think we certainly saw that on display Saturday night. Again, Georgia very well might go to the national championship. They're certainly, I feel like, going to the playoff. But I'm proud as hell for how this team went out and competed for four quarters, and they never gave up. They didn't hang their heads. There were certainly some bright spots for us to continue to build on, particularly our deep passes, right? And our defense being able to create turnovers is an excellent sign. But there's also plenty to work on to improve, specifically the offensive line and situational play calling. But, I mean, look, guys, let's not get too down in the dumps. This team is 2-1. We got a winning record. And guess what? We're heading home with a night game on deck. So keep the faith. And like I was saying, all over Instagram and Twitter, blowing it up, just onward. Onward and upward. So keep the faith. So that wraps up my basic summary of the game. I think we have a lot to build towards and keep going upwards. But got to review the six-pack of picks. I'm not going to shy away from it. My official rating, bleh. I went 2-4 with the two wins coming at night. So it was just a sad day. I mean, so we'll quickly review this. ACC, I had FSU plus 4.5 at Wake. That's an L. FSU is just a bad football team, right? I was hoping that they would rally and try to keep it close. No, that's a black hole of a program. If you're into the picks and everything, don't bet with Florida State. Big 12, Oklahoma versus Nebraska. This was an excellent game if you happened to catch it. This was a lot closer than I think anyone would have thought. I had the over at 62. It went under. But I think Oklahoma, they're just less explosive than years past. But I think they have a better defense. But Nebraska, they came to play. I mean, talk about situational play calling. I mean, I think the moment was just a little too big for that entire team because they were hanging with Oklahoma. But it was a great game. Big 10, Penn State minus 5.5 against Auburn. That was a win. That was also an electric game if you were able to flip back and forth between our game and the Penn State-Auburn game. Man, what an electric atmosphere. Just raucous. SEC refs, little suspect, you know, calls, but whatever, shit happens. Great game, though. Pac-12, UCLA and Fresno State, that was over 63. That hit. That was the best way to hit. I was fast asleep. That game kicked off at 10:45, and I was lights out, probably right around 11. But making money while you sleep, man. Passive income. Isn't that what they say? Yeah. I'll take my $10. Thank you very much. On to the SEC. Alabama versus Florida, that was a great game, too. I'm sure a lot of us were watching that one. Florida, they kept it close. I mean, it was Alabama minus 14.5, so I took the L on that. But the only good thing to come from that game is that Steven Garcia remains as the last SEC East quarterback to beat Alabama. Stevie G, shout out to my guy. My Group of Five game, this was a bananas game. This was the Friday game. So UCF minus 6.5 at Louisville. That was an L, but that game turned out to be great too. I was just casually watching that at a bar, and then I was like, oh my gosh, like UCF might win this thing. They got the pick, and then the very next play, they gave up a pick six to win, or to lose rather. So went from high hopes, like I thought the Gus Bus was rolling, I thought I was a genius, and then it's a loser. But 2-4, bound to have a rebound, right? I mean, that's just the universe. The universe says, hey, pump the brakes with the six-pack on week two. We'll get you back. So that really wraps up everything that happened on my end for this past weekend. So looking ahead to the week for Carolina, my biggest concern, I didn't touch on it earlier, my biggest concern is the health of Sherrod Greene. I mean, I felt so bad for him. Right away, you knew that was a tough injury. He slammed his helmet, holding his leg. I mean, that kid has worked hard. He's been at Carolina for, I believe, all 4 years now. Early reports are that it's a lower leg injury, which you could see they wrapped his ankle when they put him on the cart. But the early report says that it's not season ending, but it is rather long. So my question is, you know, how long? And maybe we can get some insight into that this week. I hope for his sake it's not very long and that he is able to bounce back. He's a great kid. And other than that, you know, now that Luke is back to being a healthy quarterback, how much can Coach Satterfield open up his playbook in practice and capitalize on some new looks and new things that we can try to do? I want to hear that we're trying to be more aggressive, and let's not shy away from pushing the ball downfield, but let's also try to get creative with Luke's speed as we head into the Kentucky game. But, you know, I want to hear someone on this staff has to answer again for the poor offensive line play. I know Beamer touched on it in his Tuesday press conference. I want to hear it again. I mean, shit, if we can get Greg Adkins to explain a little bit, like maybe give some coach insight as to why, maybe offer up a possible solution as to what's going on, how can we fix this, that's what I would like. But speaking of this game coming up, it was announced today that SEC Nation will be coming to Columbia for the Kentucky game. So, I mean, that's fun. I mean, they've been there a couple times, but that'll be fun to watch some of the content that comes out for the week, especially guys like Marty and McGee. God, I love Marty Smith. That guy is actually hilarious. But if you are going to be in Columbia and are able to swing by, send me some pictures. DM me some pictures. That'd be great to see. I have swung by there. I was at a game once and they were there. But it'd be cool to see how the setup looks. And you could send that to my Instagram, which is just the name of the podcast, at Cox Talking Gamecocks, or on Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. And also, like and subscribe to the podcast. This has been fun. We're seeming to get a little momentum going. But other than that, you know, just make sure to follow along for updates. We like to keep it like to keep it fun. So outside of that, I will catch y'all on Friday. And as always, go Cox.